Hey everyone, welcome back to the AI Hardware Show. I'm your host Skylar Monroe, and this is the show where we dig into the silicon, the servers, and the semiconductor breakthroughs powering the AI revolution. Big thanks to our sponsors today, Limitless AI, helping businesses actually integrate AI into their workflows in a meaningful way, and Ago Consulting, that's Ago Consulting, your go-to partner for silicon development. We've got a packed episode today, hyperscalers threatening to disrupt the chip winners, Intel's 18A getting some serious IP love, TSMC's credit outlook looking rosy, the NVDA versus AMD battle heating up, and a Chinese startup doing some wild things with 3D stacking to dodge US export controls. Let's get into it. All right, kicking things off with a story from Street Insider, citing analysis out of JP Morgan, and the headline is one that should make anyone holding AI chip stocks sit up straight. The thesis is basically this. The companies that have been winning big in AI chips, and yes, NVIDIA is the elephant in the room here, may be facing a tougher road ahead as the hyperscalers start catching up with their own custom silicon. Now, if you've been following this space for a while, this isn't entirely shocking, but the JP Morgan framing gives it some real weight, so let's break down what's actually happening here. Hyperscalers, we're talking Google, Microsoft, Amazon, Meta, these are the companies spending tens of billions of dollars a year on AI infrastructure. For years, they were essentially just really good customers for NVIDIA. They'd buy H100s, A100s, rack them up, and call it a day. But that dynamic is shifting. Google has been running its TPUs, tensor processing units, for years now, and they've gotten seriously good at it. Amazon has Trainium and Inferentia. Microsoft is deep in the Maya chip program. Meta has its own MTIA silicon. These aren't side projects anymore. These are production-grade chips running real workloads at massive scale. And here's the analogy I like to use. Think about what happened in cloud storage. For a while, every company bought storage hardware from the big vendors, EMC, NetApp, you name it. Then AWS said, you know what? We can just build our own, optimize it for our specific workload, and save a fortune. That's exactly what's happening in AI compute right now. The hyperscalers know their workloads better than anyone, and custom silicon lets them optimize for exactly what they need, whether that's inference at massive scale, specific model architectures, or just raw power efficiency in the data center. Now, does this mean NVIDIA is suddenly in trouble? Not exactly. The external AI chip market is still enormous, and nobody else is selling to the thousands of companies that don't have the resources to build their own silicon. But JP Morgan's point is nuanced. It's about growth rates and market share trajectory. If the biggest customers in the world start relying less on you and more on themselves, that puts a ceiling on your upside. The takeaway for investors and industry watchers is this: the AI chip market is maturing. The early days where one company basically had a monopoly on the best hardware are giving way to a more complex, fragmented landscape. And that's actually really interesting from a hardware perspective, because competition, even internal competition, drives innovation. Okay, story number two takes us into some deep silicon weeds, and honestly, I love this stuff. SemiWiki published a technical overview of Synopsys Foundation IP for Intel's 18A process node. And if you care at all about where Intel is headed, and you should, this is worth paying attention to. So let me set the stage. Intel 18A is Intel's most advanced process node in development, and it's kind of make or break for Intel Foundry Services. The 18A name refers to roughly 1.8 angstroms, and before you ask, yes, we're now measuring transistor features in units smaller than individual atoms in some sense, which is wild. 18A includes two major innovations: RibbonFET, which is Intel's version of gate-all-around transistors, and PowerVia, which is Intel's backside power delivery technology. Both of those are genuinely significant advances, but here's the thing people sometimes miss: having a great process node is only half the battle. To actually build chips on that node, you need what's called foundation IP. Think of it like this: if the process node is the road, foundation IP is all the infrastructure alongside it, the signs, the lanes, the guardrails. Synopsys is providing a portfolio of semiconductor building blocks for 18A, and that includes embedded memory compilers, standard cell logic libraries, and I/O libraries. Each of these is critical. Standard cell libraries are essentially the alphabet of chip design. They're the basic logic gates and flip-flops that everything else gets built from. Embedded memory compilers let designers integrate SRAM and other memory types directly into their chips, and I/O libraries handle how the chip communicates with the outside world. The reason this matters for Intel is legitimacy. When you're trying to attract fabless chip companies to use your foundry companies like Qualcomm, Broadcom, or even some of the AI startups, they need to know that the ecosystem is ready. They need the EDA tools. They need the IP libraries. They need the whole stack to be production ready. Having Synopsys, which is basically the gold standard in EDA and IP, publish a detailed technical overview of their 18A foundation, IP is a signal that this ecosystem is coming together. It's not just Intel saying, trust us, our process is great. It's the broader industry building infrastructure around it. For the AI hardware world specifically, this matters because custom AI silicon, whether it's for training, inference, or specialized accelerators, often gets built at the most advanced nodes available. If Intel 18A can attract AI chip designers, that's a huge deal for Intel's foundry ambitions. We're still watching to see how 18A yields play out in production, but the IP ecosystem piece is a puzzle that's clearly getting solved. Story 3, and this one's about the company that basically runs the world's most important manufacturing operation. TSMC. Yahoo Finance is reporting that TSMC's dominance in AI chips is actually strengthening its credit outlook. And when credit rating agencies start noticing your AI chip business, you know things are going well. So let's talk about why TSMC is in such a strong position. If you're not totally familiar, TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, is the world's largest dedicated chip foundry. They don't design chips, they manufacture them. And their customer list reads like a who's who of the tech world. Apple, NVIDIA, AMD, Qualcomm, Broadcom, Google for TPOs, Amazon for Trainium, you get the idea. Basically, if it's a cutting-edge chip, there's a very high probability TSMC made it. Now, AI has been an absolute rocket ship for TSMC's business. The demand for advanced chips, particularly at 3-nanometer, 4-nanometer, and the upcoming 2-nanometer node has been driven in large part by AI accelerators. NVIDIA's H100 and H200 GPUs are fabbed at TSMC, AMD's MI300 series. Same story. And as AI workloads keep growing, the demand for TSMC's most advanced nodes keeps climbing with it. Here's the credit angle, and this is interesting from a business perspective. Credit rating agencies look at things like revenue diversification, customer concentration, technological moat, and long-term demand visibility. TSMC scores really well on almost all of those right now. They have a technological lead over competitors. Samsung and Intel Foundry are catching up, but TSMC is still ahead on yield and volume at the leading edge. The demand for AI chips gives TSMC incredible revenue visibility. These hyperscaler customers are signing long-term agreements and paying significant advance payments. And while there's always geopolitical risk given Taiwan's situation, TSMC is actively building out fabs in Arizona, Japan, and Germany to diversify that exposure. The analogy I'd use here is TSMC is like the world's only 5-star restaurant that also happens to be the only place that can cook certain dishes. Everybody wants a reservation. The waitlist is long, and the chef knows it. When your customers are locking in capacity years in advance, that's a fundamentally strong business position. The credit outlook improvement is almost a formality at this point. The fundamentals are just really solid. Story 4, let's talk stocks, specifically the great NVDA versus AMD debate, because Intellectia AI put out an analysis for July 2026 framing, and it's a useful snapshot of where these two companies stand. Now, I want to be clear, nothing on this show is financial advice. We're talking hardware and technology here. But the competitive dynamics between NVIDIA and AMD tell us a lot about the state of the AI chip industry, so let's dig in. NVIDIA's position right now is almost unprecedented in the semiconductor industry. Their H100 and H200 GPUs became the de facto standard for AI training. And that's not just about the chips themselves, it's about CUDA. CUDA is NVIDIA's software platform, and it's been around since 2006. 20 years of developer investment, optimized libraries, frameworks, tools, the entire AI software ecosystem basically runs on CUDA. That's a moat that's very hard to attack. AMD, on the other hand, has been making serious strides on the hardware side. The MI300X was a genuinely competitive chip, great memory bandwidth, excellent on certain inference workloads, and some of the biggest hyperscalers and cloud providers actually started deploying it at scale. AMD's ROCm software platform has improved significantly, though it's still playing catch-up to CUDA in terms of ecosystem depth. Here's the way I like to think about this competition. NVIDIA is like Windows in the 90s and 2000s. Even when competitors had technically interesting products, the software ecosystem lock-in made switching costs enormous. AMD is working hard to be the Linux of AI compute, more open, increasingly capable, and gaining real traction in certain segments. The question is whether any of the cracks in NVIDIA's dominance can be widened before NVIDIA ships its next generation Blackwell is already out and Rubin is on the roadmap. What makes this particularly interesting for hardware folks is the systems level competition. It's not just chip versus chip anymore, it's rack scale systems, networking, memory subsystems, the whole package. NVIDIA's NVLink and NVSwitch give them a significant advantage in multi-GPU scaling. AMD is working on their own interconnect story. This battle is going to play out over years, not quarters. And that's actually great for the industry because competition drives everyone to build better silicon. And we close out today's episode with a story that's equal parts fascinating and geopolitically charged. The South China Morning Post is reporting on a Chinese AI chip startup that's betting on 3D stacking technology to essentially work around US export controls. This is a really important story, and I want to give it the nuance it deserves. So first, the background: US export controls have significantly restricted the kinds of advanced chips and manufacturing equipment that can be sold to Chinese companies. Specifically, companies like ASML can't export their most advanced EUV lithography machines to China, and NVIDIA can't sell its most capable AI chips to Chinese customers without special licenses. The goal from the US policy side is to slow down China's ability to develop advanced AI capabilities. Now, the Chinese chip industry has been responding to this in several ways: ramping domestic EDA tools, investing heavily in SMIC's more mature process nodes, and apparently getting creative with advanced packaging. 3D stacking, in this context, is really interesting. The basic idea is, if you can't make one big, super advanced chip, what if you stack multiple chips on top of each other and connect them so densely that they effectively function as one? Technologies like chiplets, advanced packaging, and high bandwidth memory already use versions of this concept. TSMC's CoWoS packaging, for example, is how NVIDIA connects its H100 GPUs to their HBM memory. The startup mentioned in this story is apparently taking this further, using 3D stacking to combine multiple chips manufactured at process nodes that are accessible to Chinese fabs, creating an aggregate compute density that approaches what you'd get from more advanced monolithic chips. It's genuinely clever engineering. The challenges are significant, though. 3D stacked chips generate a lot of heat. Power delivery gets complicated, yields can be tricky, and the interconnect bandwidth between stacked dies, while improving, is still a limitation. But here's the broader point this story illustrates. Semiconductor restrictions are playing out in real time as a technology policy challenge, and the response from the restricted side is innovation, not surrender. Whether this particular approach succeeds or not, the ingenuity being applied to this problem is remarkable. For the global AI hardware industry, this is a storyline worth watching closely, because how China develops its own chip ecosystem will shape the competitive landscape for decades. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode of the AI Hardware Show. We covered a lot of ground today, from hyperscalers threatening chip incumbents to Intel's 18A ecosystem building out, TSMC's rock-solid position, the NVIDIA-AMD rivalry, and China's creative engineering in the face of export controls. This stuff is moving fast, and I'm glad you're here keeping up with it. The AI Hardware Show, brought to you by Limitless AI and Ago Consulting. Links in the show notes to learn more about both sponsors. If you found this episode useful, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, share it with someone who geeks out over silicon as much as we do, and check the show notes for links to all the stories we covered today. See you next time.